What is up? It is Susan, and this is the Performance RD podcast. So today we're going to be joined by Mike Polis. So Mike is a CSSD, and he has been working as a dietitian for 9 years, and he is also a nationally ranked power lifter, which I think is super cool. So I hope you guys enjoy today's episode and getting to know Mike. All right. Welcome, Mike. I'm so glad you're here today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I am really looking forward to talking to you. So you kind of sent me over a little bit of your bio a couple weeks ago when we planned on doing this. And I have to tell you that I really didn't realize how varied your experience was and kind of like the unique path that you took to actually becoming a sports dietitian and working in the role that you're in now. So one of the things that really stood out to me was the fact that you have a 1,394 pound total at 75 kilograms with the USPA. So that's pretty impressive.
I appreciate it.
So I definitely want to talk about that. But just getting started off here, I'd really love for you to just tell us a little bit about yourself. Go through your bio for us, where you come from, where you did school, internship, and kind of what you're doing now.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me today. I've definitely listened to your podcast before, and I think you do a great job with it. So I'm super, super excited to be here today to get to talk with you. And then also, any other dietitians listening or nutrition professionals, hopefully you can kind of take away something from today's podcast. So I guess to get started, I'm a CSSD, a sports dietitian, registered dietitian. Got a bachelor's and a master's in nutrition from University of Alabama. Been a dietitian for about 9 years now, but I really didn't start getting heavy into like performance and tactical and sports nutrition until the last 4 or 5 years. So I think my journey is a little bit unique. Everybody's journey is unique, right? But mine was a little, I guess, unconventional to get to where I really wanted to be as a dietitian. So I guess to start off with, if we were to kind of like go back of when I decided to kind of get into nutrition and fitness, it would really start in high school. So I kind of grew up in a family that was pretty supportive of fitness. My dad was big into working out and eating healthy. My mom was always really supportive of whatever I wanted to do and cooked, you know, healthy meals and whatnot. I didn't make any of the sports teams that I tried out for in high school, like basketball and football and all that. So I decided to take up weightlifting in high school. And I was actually pretty good at it, like, to start off with. Like, I wasn't very good at basketball or football, so that's probably why I didn't make the team. but once I started weightlifting, I was like, man, this is my jam right here. And I had no idea that it would turn into, you know, being a competitive powerlifter doing fairly well in my weight class. So anyway, I started off, I guess, in high school, with weightlifting, reading the, bodybuilding.com forums, which is strange for a 15-year-old in high school. But that's how I spent my time. There are some really, you know, educated folks that were posting on the forums at that time for completely like no price at all. Like just putting out free info. Dr. Lane Norton comes to mind, Alan Aragon. These guys were posting, you know, content on message boards, back in 05, 06. So I did a lot of reading on like nutrition and how to like periodize your nutrition and how to eat for performance and how to structure a workout, and just kind of took to it and started getting really heavy into lifting. And then I enrolled at the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa in 2007 for college. And I actually started off as exercise science with the plan of like maybe doing physical therapy. But then I took my first nutrition course and I absolutely fell in love with it. And I just decided right then and there to change my major to nutrition. After that, that was my freshman year that I switched from exercise science to nutrition. That spring and that summer, I actually decided to diet down for a bodybuilding show. I decided to do like my diet and my training all by myself. I did hire a posing coach. But there was a lot of bro science going around at that time. I mean, there's still bro science, right?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with bro science. They get it right sometimes.
That's right. You and I were talking about, you know, how they had kind of the gram per pound of protein, which is a pretty good ballpark. You know, they had that right.
Yeah, for a long time that was kind of sketchy. But now the research has kind of caught up with that, and in some cases the research even supports a little bit more than a gram per pound.
Absolutely, yeah. So so I did a lot of the kind of like bro science-y things, and you know, I probably did some things right and I probably did some things wrong too, looking back. I was 20 years old when I did my first bodybuilding show. But I got wow. I got pretty lean. But looking back, I could have done things better, but I kind of had this idea in my head that, you know, my major is nutrition. I want to try and see if I can improve my body composition through bodybuilding and through hardcore training and whatnot, because eventually I'd like to work with that population. And I can remember like telling some of the professors at college that like, hey, I think I may want to work with bodybuilders or powerlifters or even, you know, military personnel, you know, mm-hmm. way down the road once I become a dietitian. And they were just kind of like, hey, if you want to do that, like that's unconventional and you're going to have to swim upstream. But I always kind of stuck to my gut and was like, hey, you know, I'm going to do that eventually. Needless to say, I did pretty well in my bodybuilding show, and I went back to school for my sophomore year after competing that summer. And I got really heavy into like nutrition coursework. And then I was still kind of like at a crossroads, because I was like, you know, I'm taking these nutrition classes, but none of it really relates to bodybuilding or powerlifting or really weight training. You know, a lot of it is heavy and clinical and food mm-hmm. service and community and all that. So then I decided, you know, I needed to look into this major, this nutrition major that I just, you know, picked. And say, hey, you know, what can I actually do with this? Because obviously I got to earn some kind of income once I get out of school, right? I just can't mm-hmm. be a bodybuilding guy, you know? So, you know, I found out about the coordinator program of dietetics that the university offered. So if you're a dietitian listening, you know that you've got to do a internship, you know, post-bachelor to get your hours to sit for the RD exam under the supervision of a RD. You have different rotations and whatnot. Well, the university actually offered it's called a coordinated program. So you actually do your coursework and then also your rotation simultaneously. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I decided to apply for it, and I actually got into the coordinated program. So I was kind of just that one step closer to becoming a registered dietitian. So that was kind of like step one for me, which is kind of like opening the door of like, hey, you know, I can make a go out of this thing. And once I get the RD, like maybe opportunities will be limitless.
I want to stop you right there, because I have to give you kudos, because you didn't mention it. But when you did do your bodybuilding competition, so you actually placed pretty well. And this was back in what, like 2007, 2008?
Yeah, it was actually 2009, 2009.
Okay. So, I mean, really, like, for anybody who has ever followed kind of the bodybuilding scene or anything like that, 2009, it wasn't quite as saturated as it is now. These days, it kind of seems like everybody is trying to do bodybuilding, but back then, it was still kind of... Do you feel like it was still kind of underground? I still feel like it may have been starting to come to more popular, but I feel like it wasn't quite as saturated as it is now, like I said earlier. But so you took second place in novice, which is pretty good, right? And then third place yes. overall in your weight division.
That's correct.
Yeah, yes. So not only do you hold... you know, a pretty good standing in powerlifting, but you also did pretty well at your first bodybuilding show at the tender age of 20 years old. So that's super impressive. So don't downplay that.
I appreciate it. it was definitely a lot of work that summer to diet down and training. I'll be honest, it was miserable at times, but looking back, it was a great learning experience.
Definitely.
Got into the coordinated program. Started get heavy into like my coursework and whatnot with nutrition. And my first rotation in the coordinated program was doing clinical dietetics. And I'll be completely honest, I absolutely struggled with it that very first rotation. I don't know what it was. It was just kind of like, it was all new to me, like actually going into a patient's room in the hospital and like talking to them, like doing a diet education. That was like a challenge for me for some reason.
Do you feel like you have, like, you're more of an introverted person, or do you feel like you're kind of struggle to be more outspoken?
Yeah, I'm definitely introverted. very much so. I mean, even, you know, just going into a patient's room was very outside of my comfort zone, you know, and I think that's the case for a lot of, you know, young dietitians, especially if you are introverted, like myself. Going into a patient's room and just like striking up a conversation, like, hey, this is the diet the doctor wants you to be on. I'm like 21, 22 years old at this time. It was just kind of like that whole kind of this thing. And then also, dealing with patients who may be on the ventilator and looking at their tube feeding and trying to get the rate right to match the calorie needs. All that was just like kind of thrown at me, and I really had a hard time with it. That was the first clinical rotation. And then I remember that that summer, part of the curriculum there at the university was to kind of find a nutrition internship. They called it a supervised practice. It was a 4-week internship. Just to kind of get more experience. And everybody in the nutrition major had to do this. Like, it didn't matter if you were in the coordinator program or not, like, you had to do a 4-week supervised practice. In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, this is my chance to get involved with sports nutrition. So I can remember like pinging a bunch of sports dietitians that I found online, just, you know, cold calling them or shooting them emails like, hey, my name's Mike. You know, I go to the University of Alabama. I'm a nutrition major. Can I supervise you? And, you know, obviously we had to pay our way. So I was contacting people in like Jacksonville, and there's a place called Athletes Performance in Arizona. I remember I contacted, and I think one person did actually get back with me, but the price was pretty steep. And, you know, I was in college at the time, and I was like, I just couldn't justify doing a 4-week supervised practice for that amount of money. So I basically was kind of down on my luck, and I remember coming home during spring break from Montgomery, Alabama, and I came home and I was visiting with my parents and whatnot, and kind of explained like, hey, like, I got to find this internship, you know, soon. Do you think maybe the hospitals around here have dietitians that may be able to take me in? And, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm still thinking, oh, but, you know, it's going to be clinical. It's not sports, but I need to do this. You know, it's a actual requirement, you know, for me to get a class credit. So I have to do this. So needless to say, I went to all the hospitals in the local area, and I ended up going to one of the bigger hospitals in town, and just kind of walking in. And I saw this lady walking towards the kitchen, and she was in scrubs. And it crossed my mind that, hey, maybe she's a registered dietitian and maybe she can help me out. So I just kind of went up to her. I was like, hey, ma'am. I was like, my name is Mike. I go to Alabama. I need to do a summer internship. Explained everything to her. And she was like, oh, yeah, we can help you out. And I was like, well, that's awesome. You know, what's the next step? So she took me back to the clinical nutrition manager's office, and we kind of talked about things and whatnot. Needless to say, I got in with those folks, and I'm so glad I did, because they were great mentors. It was supposed to be a 4-week supervised practice. It was at a 474-bed hospital facility. They had a critical care unit, a trauma unit, just about anything you wanted to see at this hospital. It's supposed to be a 4-week rotation. Well, I ended up staying there for 3 months because I loved it so much, and I loved learning from this team of dietitians. So I'm definitely forever grateful for that experience. And I can remember going back to school the following semester and just having kind of like this new sense of confidence that, hey, you know, if I can do this dietitian clinical work, I can do anything if I really just kind of persevere and put my mind through it.
That's awesome.
So that was that was definitely refreshing. After that, I kind of got heavy into like doing my other rotations. None of it was sports nutrition related. It was still clinical food service. I did a rotation at the VA, the student health center there at the university, worked with a great dietitian there. So I was getting a lot of good experience, meeting a lot of good people, but still really didn't get that hands-on sports nutrition, introduction that I was looking for. In 2011, a few things happened to me that were pretty substantial. So I was doing really well with all my rotations and, you know, all the nutrition coursework. And I was pretty much wrapping up everything to become, you know, RD eligible and graduate with a bachelor's in nutrition. I can remember in 2011, I believe it was April 2011, I was taking my final exam for microbiology. And it was basically my last final exam before, you know, going on to graduation or whatever. And an EF4 tornado actually came through Tuscaloosa, where the university is located, and pretty much devastated the whole area. I think there were like 64 or 65 fatalities or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, to put it in perspective, EF5 is pretty much the biggest tornado, most devastating tornado. This is an EF4, but it pretty much wiped out a good chunk of the southeast and in the city of Tuscaloosa. But I can remember like leaving that exam and just kind of like walking out into the devastation and the wreckage and just being like, whoa, like this is all too real. Like you just kind of count your blessings when you see something like that. And definitely just kind of like lit a fire under me to like, you know, say, hey, like life is super precious. So that happened. That was definitely very significant. And then also in April of 2011, I met one of my good friends, Phil, who introduced me to powerlifting, and we decided to compete in a powerlifting meet. So that was my first powerlifting meet that I did. I just did the deadlift only. I didn't do the full meet. But at 165, I ended up deadlifting 501 in my very first meet. And I was absolutely hooked. So after I did that, I was just like, I'm not going back to the bodybuilding stuff. Like, I am hooked on powerlifting. So that was pretty significant because that kind of, I guess, paved the way forward for powerlifting. So I've done about 9 competitions since 2011.
Oh, wow. Powerlifting. I didn't realize you had done that many competitions.
Yeah, it's been a lot.
That's awesome. So do you have any more competing on your radar coming up in the future?
Yeah, so my last competition was in August of 2019. I ended up winning best lifter overall in that meet. It was the Ultimate Warrior 3 in Birmingham, Alabama. Then that's where I posted the 1394 total at 165. I hit a triple bodyweight squat, 501, and I think I weighed in at 162 or 163 pounds. So the triple bodyweight squat, which was always a goal of mine, and sleeves, so no wraps or anything like that, which is completely raw.
Wait, Mike, so you squatted 501 pounds raw at 75 kilograms?
That's correct, yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm impressed. I don't know if there's any other dietitians listening that are familiar with powerlifting or just squatting in general, but I know 200-pound guys who can't squat even close to 500 pounds. So that's pretty impressive, Mike.
I appreciate it. It was definitely a lot of work to get to that point. It's not something that happened overnight, but it was a goal of mine for a long time coming, so I was glad I was able to hit that. To answer your question, with all the COVID-19 stuff going on, all the meets kind of got postponed that were scheduled for kind of the earlier part of the year. And then also in the fall, there's still kind of question marks on, you know, are we going to have some of the competitions here in the state, or are we going to postpone them or whatnot? So I wasn't actually training for any of the meets coming up when this whole corona thing kind of, you know, came to a head. But I did kind of have plans of competing later this year. So hopefully there's some competitions to get into the later half of this year.
Well, hopefully for you there is. And I think I would definitely love to see you just beat that 500 pound. I mean, I'm speechless. Like, that's just an amazing lift for your weight class. I mean, honestly, like I know somebody who's 260 pounds and looks like he should be able to move buildings who doesn't squat 500 pounds. So that's really incredible. That's awesome. So you kind of talked about your path a little bit, and, you know, it sounds like you're kind of no stranger to adversity or just, you know, grit. You have a lot of grit, Mike.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Grit's my favorite word. I don't know. You know, people use the word like mental toughness and resilience and stuff like that, but I'm a big fan of the word grit. I love people with grit, and I think you got a lot of it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So yeah, I mean, after that powerlifting meet in 2011, and then also after the tornado and whatnot, I ended up graduating with my BS in nutrition, and I had enough hours to actually sit for the RD exam, so I was now RD eligible. But I was kind of still trying to figure out, like, hey, like, I still haven't had that sports nutrition experience. So anyway, I actually ended up staying at Tuscaloosa and getting my master's degree. During that time, I met one of my good friends, who is now a PhD at one of the local universities here in here in the state of Alabama. And he was very much into powerlifting. He was working on his master's in exercise science at the time. We actually decided to compete in powerlifting together. This time I did a full powerlifting meet. And we always kind of talked about, hey, you know, one day let's kind of get up and maybe do some consulting, where he would kind of structure the training programs and I would do the nutrition programming and just kind of work with powerlifters and physique athletes. And we just kind of joked about it. I can remember graduating with my master's, and then kind of getting back in touch with him, be like, hey, you ready to start that consulting gig? And I'm glad we did. So we ended up coaching over 40 athletes, both physique and powerlifting athletes, from about 2013 to about 2019. And it was a great experience just to kind of get more experience with working with the population that I've been longing to work with. So anyway, I ended up getting my master's degree there, getting my RD December of 2011, and then taking my first clinical job fresh out of finishing my master's degree. And guess where it was? It was at the place where I interned for 3 months, just because, you know, they were good people. And I reached out to them when I was looking for a job and I was like, hey, do you have any openings? And they're like, yeah, we sure do. So anyway, I ended up staying there for 4 years, as a clinical dietitian. And meanwhile, I was just kind of doing some consulting work, at gyms, had the powerlifting consulting going on. I actually became a contributing writer for bodybuilding.com. I think I had like 6 or 7 articles on there. And then it wasn't until 2016 when I started getting into sports nutrition, almost full time. So I ended up taking a position at Maxwell Air Force Base as a health promotion and performance dietitian. Still wrote for bodybuilding.com, still did the consulting thing. And I ended up doing some volunteer work too with one of the D1 schools here in town with their football team and then also their swim team. So, you know, it took a few years to finally, you know, get to where I wanted to be as a dietitian. So for any dietitians listening out there, I would say, you know, if there's something you really want to do, like if there's a specialty or a field you want to work in, it may not come to you right away. But, you know, if you have grit, like we were just talking about having grit, I think that's a great word. If you have grit, and you just kind of like keep the end goal in mind, like anything is possible, because there's plenty of opportunities out there as a dietitian.
Yeah, absolutely. I second that. I mean, before I got into the position that I'm in now, I actually had to take a clinical job just because there wasn't really anything in my area that was open as far as sports nutrition, other than some of the volunteer work I had done and just some of the shadowing I had done. And I wasn't really in a position where I could move out of my area, because I was already married when I became a dietitian, and I already had kids, you know, and I had done an interview in one of my earlier podcasts with Steve Smith. And one of the things that he said is that, you know, sports dietitians, you know, are just a different breed. And a lot of times you just got to do what you got to do to get the work done and get the job that you want. And you have to be willing to kind of sacrifice a little bit. So I think that's definitely a good point. You got to have that grit. You got to be willing to make sacrifices. You know, it's not going to come easy. I had to wait a few years because I chose to become a dietitian after I already had a family. So I think all of that is super, super valid.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have to ask you, did you watch Half Thor break the world deadlifting record a few weeks ago?
I did, yes. That was freaking awesome to watch.
Yeah, I was going bananas. I had actually just bought myself a brand new television. So I watched it on YouTube and I smartcast it to my brand new television. So we had a little itty bitty like 28-inch TV in our living room. And my husband finally came home from training. You know, he's gone for a while. So he was like, we have to get an actual TV. So we bought a 55-inch QLED whatever TV. I don't know anything about TVs. So I got to watch him break the world record on my brand new QLED TV. So it was pretty cool.
That's awesome. That's a good way to break in a new TV.
Awesome. Okay, so you're with Maxwell Air Force Base now, and you got kind of the experience that you were looking for finally, you know, and then, you know, kind of what's next for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So obviously I want to continue to sharpen my skills as a performance dietitian. I'm huge on just like learning as much as possible. Like, you can never be the smartest person in the room. Like, that's kind of my mantra. Like, there's always people to learn from, whether it's other dietitians or strength coaches or physical therapists or athletic trainers or whatever interdisciplinary team. Like, there's always something to learn. Like, as a dietitian, I'm kind of like practitioner first, so like always kind of have that mindset of being a clinician and how you can better serve the people you work with. So I guess to answer your question, it's basically just to learn as much as I possibly can. I'm actually studying for the CSCS certification. It's going to be a beast of a test, but it's a lot of information, but I think it's a great certification for a registered dietitian, especially a sports dietitian, to have, just because it will make kind of your opportunities, I guess, limitless to connect in terms of, you know, having a good knowledge base of strength and conditioning, but also, you know, how to fuel for strength and conditioning as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something, too, I think is important for upcoming sports dietitians or even current sports dietitians to, you know, start thinking about is the impact that, you know, having that additional knowledge can have on the way that you practice. A lot of sports dietitians, especially in the tactical field, are working on getting their CSCS if they don't already have it. In fact, a lot of times it's kind of expected that once you start getting into higher levels as well, that as a dietitian, you should have that CSCS. So good luck to you. I know you're going to kill it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. So even in the current work that you're doing, I want to kind of go over a topic or events that are happening right now with the current pandemic. How has that affected the way that you do your work, whether it be with the military or just anything that you're doing outside of your day-to-day?
That's a great question. Yeah, so as a dietitian working there at Maxwell, you know, everything's pretty much face-to-face, whether it's a one-on-one appointment or going out to a squadron or a unit and delivering a brief or a presentation, or doing like a commander's call or whatever it is. A lot of that is just that human connection, like in person. So, you know, with the COVID-19, Corona stuff going on right now, you know, everything is now virtual. So, you know, we're all kind of like physically distanced, but I think, I really don't like the term social distancing. I like the term more like physical distancing, because you still want to keep that human connection. It's just virtual now. So I guess to answer your question, everything is virtual now. So one-on-one appointments, or even just last week I did a virtual brief, and next week I'm actually doing a virtual brief for an incoming class. So everything is virtual. God bless technology, because, you know, it's great, because now we can, you know, connect with the people that we serve. That way they don't kind of fall off the bandwagon just because of, hey, you know, we got this pandemic going on.
Yeah, I love, that's true. Technology has really, I feel like, broken down some barriers for us. Even as dietitians, I know a lot of the dietitians that I've started a network with, if it wasn't for social media, LinkedIn, Instagram, all of those things, I don't feel like my network would be as big as it is now.
Absolutely, yeah. 100%.
So, because I think we actually met, how did I message you? Did I message you through Instagram or was it LinkedIn?
I believe it was Instagram, yes.
Yeah, so if I haven't dropped in your DMs yet and you're a sports dietitian who's doing awesome things, you should probably expect a message from me at some point, because That, I mean, that's really how I network, because I feel like sometimes we tend to work in isolation, you know, especially as sports dietitians. I mean, what is it, like 1% of all registered dietitians are CSSDs? And even a smaller percentage of us work in unique areas like tactical nutrition. So I love social media. I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's great. And you and I were talking earlier about, you know, not as a dietitian, if there's any dietitians out there listening or sports nutrition professionals, don't be afraid to drop somebody a DM, like on Instagram. Like, if you want to, you know, if you're scrolling through your feed and you're like, man, that looks cool. Oh, and they're a dietitian, and maybe you want to model your work or their work after, like, hey, you know, that's something I want to do. Don't be afraid to reach out. I haven't gotten a bad response. I don't know if you've gotten a bad response from anybody, but most people are willing to connect with you if you just reach out.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I've gotten a negative response at all. Most people are super willing to help out, and or at least, you know, have a conversation with you and let you know if it just doesn't fit into their schedule right now.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but love social media, love technology. I will tell you, I actually have an interesting social media dietitian story to tell you. So, you know, I spend some time on social media just kind of casually, and I like to see what other dietitians are doing. And I'm not going to say any names, but, you know, one of the things that I want to kind of go over with you, and we had talked about this before, is sometimes the misinformation that can come from even peers in the field that we work with, right? You know, not every dietitian is the same. Not every dietitian has the same specialty. You have some that work in clinical, some that work in research, some that work in sports nutrition. So I actually saw a dietitian not too long ago post something on Twitter, I think it was, and someone had actually shared it with me, and she posted that creatine was a gateway drug to anabolic steroid use and was dangerous. And this, I mean, this just isn't true. So I think creatine is one of the most studied supplements that there is. Have you ever come across this? How do you feel about this? I mean, I know you've got some stories.
Yeah, I've heard that creatine is a steroid, and yeah, that is absolutely not true. It's funny because I kind of have a story about something allegedly being a steroid but not being a steroid in actuality. So a couple of years ago, I went to a dermatologist. I had some acne bumps on my shoulder. It was just kind of breaking out a little bit. I was doing some heavy training. It was during the summer months, and I was sweating a lot. And I just got on Google.com, probably not the best thing to do, but I just kind of Googled, hey, dermatologist near me, and called the first one up that auto-populated there, and so like, hey, what's the earliest you can get me in? And they were able to get me in the next day. So I was like, all right, I'll take that appointment. So I went to this appointment, and dermatologist called me back, and I probably have a little bit more muscle mass than her usual client.
Well, with a 500-pound squat and deadlift, I would hope so.
So she straight up asked me, she said, are you taking protein powder? And I thought that was kind of like an odd question. It was like the first thing she asked me at the beginning of the appointment. I was just like, that's kind of odd, kind of random. And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And her jaw dropped, and she said, well, you need to stop ASAP because protein powder is a steroid.
Oh, my. What? You know what? That is way worse than the creatine one.
Yeah, it's definitely up there with creatine. But yeah, I mean, I just kind of lost it for a second there, and I was like, you know, I was just going to let it slide and not say anything, but I was like, you know, I'm a whole damn sports dietitian. Like, I can't let this slide.
Let me inform you, medical doctor.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I thought about it long and hard there as I sat in the chair, and I was just like, you know, what can I say that is a good rebuttal, but you know, it's not, you know, coming off as being a jerk or whatever.
Sure.
So I straight up asked her, I said, well, ma'am, I said, do you drink milk? And she kind of looked at me funny, and she was like, yeah. And I was like, well, technically you're on steroids because there's whey protein in milk. And if you've ever taken a food science class, or if you currently are taking a food science class or whatever, you know that milk is about 80% casein, 20% whey. Mm-hmm. So thank you, food science, for teaching me that. So, you know, it got really awkward when I asked her about the milk and kind of explained that, hey, there's whey protein in milk. And then she just kind of had this confused look on her face. And I was like, yeah, you're definitely on steroids because there's whey protein in milk. And it got super awkward there in that that appointment. And she tried to change the subject. She was writing out a prescription for like a pill or a cream. She was like, so Mike, what kind of work do you do? And I was like, I'm a sports dietitian. And it got even more awkward.
That's fantastic. I love that story. That's way better than my story. So moral of the story is doctors, dietitians, our medical professional peers, we love you guys. But let's make sure we're putting out research, evidence-based information, please.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. That's fantastic. So, you know, you have a great story. I love it. What I would like to ask you, I kind of ask this to everybody, is, you know, maybe dietitians who are just coming up, you know, they're finishing school or internship, or maybe even experienced dietitians who are looking to get into sports dietitians, you know, what's advice you would want to give, you know, a dietitian or another sports dietitian that maybe you kind of learned along the way?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say, you know, just be patient. You know, things take time to get where you want to eventually be as a dietitian. For me, you know, it took a while before I actually landed like a sports nutrition position, or actually even created like kind of sports nutrition opportunity. So I guess number one is just be patient. Keep your passion and just be patient. I think is a great way to answer that question. Also, I think it's very important to network. You can never have too many good people in your corner. Most dietitians are willing and able to help you out if you show that you're passionate and show that you care. Other interdisciplinaries also, you know, are more than willing usually to help you if they kind of get that knack, I guess, so to speak, that like, hey, like this person is interested in a field. Definitely, you know, reach out to them. You can never really have too many connections. Also, I guess to add on that, what we were just talking about earlier is don't be afraid to DM people or send somebody a message on Facebook or LinkedIn. Like if you like what that person is doing and you want to do something similar, you know, as a career or whatever, message them, shoot them an email, shoot them a message, and just kind of strike up that conversation. For an introverted person like me, you know, that was always kind of hard, but, you know, I do it all the time now, you know, messaging people like on Instagram or LinkedIn or email, whatever it is. Don't be afraid to reach out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's an important quality, especially if you're going into sports dietetics, is you have to be willing to get uncomfortable and be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I think that goes back along to like the grit that we were talking about. So yes, if you're introverted or you're having a difficult time finding that position that you want, I love how you said you just got to kind of create it. You got to do what you got to do.
Absolutely. And I think entrepreneurship is huge right now for dietitians. I think there's a great opportunity for dietitians to create opportunities. And, you know, that's something they don't teach us in school, you know, when you're trying to do your nutrition work or become an RD. Nobody teaches you how to acquire clients, you know, for online coaching or what strategies to use to build a business. So I think there's a lot of good content available out there. And we were talking about like business coaches and whatnot earlier too. You know, all that is becoming more and more readily available for dietitians, which is a thing of beauty in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I think even good coaches need coaches. I know even as a dietitian, there have been times in my career where I've set some goals for myself personally. You know, and I've hired a coach even to do my nutrition and my training. And just on a personal note, I'm in a place right now where I've just hired my first business coach, and it's been a phenomenal experience. So definitely, even if you think you're great, there's always room to get better. So coaches are essential. Coaches, mentors. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. So I had a lot of fun today, Mike. It's been a blast talking to you. I think this is definitely one of my favorites that I've done so far. So maybe we can do it again sometime. Maybe after you break some more records on the USPA stage. I think that would be fun to talk about.
Yeah, that sounds great with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe we can even talk more specifically. just future thinking later on. I think people would love to really hear about sports nutrition specifically for powerlifting athletes. So maybe you could come back and we could go a little bit more depth into programming and periodization and those kind of things. I think that would be super, super valuable if you're up for it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would love that.
All right, awesome. So if you guys are out there listening and you'd love to hear Mike come back and talk to us about programming specifically for strength, make sure that you leave a message or drop us a message in my DMs at tactical.dietitian, and we'll get you back here.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, have an awesome weekend, Mike.
You as well. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Mike is so awesome, and I had so much fun talking to him. Hopefully, we can get him back here soon to talk specifically about the nutrition strategies he uses as a strength and power athlete. If you want to check out Mike on Instagram, head over to @mpolis320 and give him a follow. As always, if you have questions, you can leave a voice message using the link in the show notes or drop me a DM on Instagram at my new handle @tactical.dietitian or email me at susan@performancerd.org. Thanks for tuning in, and if you have enjoyed today's content, don't forget to share and tag your friends. See you next time.